Alright, I'd like to make 2 points today, hopefully. Parshas Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha begins, really, the Maisa of Issim Labanim. It's beautiful Parshas. We study about the Ovis, you're really studying about yourself. Because if we have the genes from the Ovis, so then when we study about the Ovis, we're really learning about ourselves, what we're capable of doing. So, Vayem Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram. First time Hashem speaks to Avram. There's no Shalom Aleichem. How are you doing? Let's get together for coffee. Nothing. His first words to him are actually Tzeis Kamo Shalom. Goodbye. Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. His hello is a goodbye. I want you to leave. Me'artzecha Me'alav Me'zivicha El Oretz Asher Areka. To the land which I will show you. Why the mystery? El Oretz Asher Areka. Later on in the parasha, Hashem assures Avraham that he'll have children. He said, "Save himself. Don't look at your mazel. I know I'll be mazel. Avraham doesn't have children, but I'm going to give you the say it'll be Avraham, and now you'll have children." What's a game? How does it work? Avraham can't have children. He put in the letter, "Hey, you have children." Where's that coming from? Hashem was telling Avram, you can live in the world of Teva, in the world of that Hashem created with Bereishis Bara Elokim. And the world of Teva, everything is based on the step before that, right? In science, everything is predictable. If you have a given fact, then you can follow cause and effect. You can follow one step after the next. You can predict it. That's called Chukei HaTeva. Teva is a chay. It's etched in stone, so to speak. It is what it is. And you could predict fairly accurately what the next step. I do this, has this reaction, I do that reaction. And you're kind of stuck. You're stuck in that mode. That's the world of Bereishis. The world of Teva, that's the world of Bereishis. But Rashi tells us that really the world should have started with the Tarshana with the Chodesh Alachem. Because that's Chodesh, is a different kind of beginning. There's the world of Bereishis. There's a beginning that has a very fixed beginning, and that's called Teva. And there's a world of Chodesh. Chodesh is the opposite. Chodesh means because yesterday was yesterday, today could be something totally different. It's a new moon, it's a new month. I'm not stuck in yesterday. Avram is stuck, up in Teva, there's no children. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you don't have to be stuck. You can attach yourself to a different world. And that has to do with the Ois Hei. What has to do with the Ois Hei? The Ois Hei, when you put it at the end of a word, like you have it here also, Mitzrayim and Mitzrayimah. Mitzrayim means heading towards Mitzrayim. The Ois Hei is the Ois that represents the idea of heading towards something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, there's two ways to live life. You can live based on your past, then pretty much everything's quite predictable, based on your past and what you set up. Or you can live with an eye towards the future and be yoinik and nurture and connect to what your future is and what your tachlis is. The Ois Hei represents that idea of a future that you're able to connect to what your tachlis is. So a person could be in a rut and he's stuck. But if he's able to understand that he has a tachlis, he has a purpose, and that can give him hope, that can give him chizuk, and he understands that he has a mission. If a person is thrown into a pit, right, and he can't climb out of the pit, but maybe he can throw a rope out of the pit, right, and then the rope is attached to a stone out of the pit, and he can climb out, meaning he can use the outside to get him out. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, there's a mahalach over here, that a Jew has to have what's called she'ifas. A person has to have a desire and always a sense of what I want to be, who do I want to be, a vision. And you use that vision to drive you, and then you're not stuck anymore. A person doesn't have to say, oh, this is who I was, this is who I was raised, this is who I am. That's the world of being stuck. HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces the Klal Yisrael into Yidden, there's no such thing. Ashar ben yamik ashar. Ashar, the first day he's born ashar, a blight ashar, remains ashar. Yid's not stuck. Yid has she'ifas. Yid has a vision of what he wants to be as a Ben Torah. And that vision could propel him, could give him strength, and can move him on. That's the Ois Hei. Avraham is stuck. Avraham is not stuck. Ela Oretz Asher Areka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avram, you have to think ahead. Who do you want to be? Don't think of your past. I'm stuck, Rebbe. This is who I was. This is how I was taught. My parents were this way. My friends this way. I'm stuck. No such thing. The Abijah says, it's a new world. Lech Lecha now, get away from that old world. Don't think that. It doesn't just mean physically get away from Arzacha, but get away from that kind of thinking that you're stuck with whatever your nature provided for you. A Yid has to have she'ifas. A Yid has to always plan, be excited for his future. Ask himself, what's my tachlis? And use that tachlis, that sense of purpose, that sense of future, give us hope, and not just give hope, to give us strength, the chizuk, and drive, to move weiter. And a person could lift himself up out of that rut and out of that pit by something he has ahead of him. And if a person would have a vision, if you could have a vision of who you could be, you could use that to give you strength to get past whatever you're stuck in. Ela Eretz Asher Reka, Hashem's telling Avram, new world for you, new life for you. But you have to be able to think Asher Reka. Something beyond you. Always think beyond. Don't settle for who you are now. This is who I am. This is who I am. No. A person has to always think, what can I be? Not what only what can I be. Who am I supposed to be? And if a person would really just think who they could be and they should be, they'd have such kaychus. They wouldn't be stuck in the world of Avram. That can't be mylid. Now Avram can't give birth. He can't produce. But an Avram can produce. But it all depends on Asher Areka. A person, every one of us, has to think, what I want to be? Who am I supposed to be? And don't sell yourself short. El Eretz Areka. The Maisa, like I say over, Nachum Mendel B'Teps, it was a year that the Rebbe in Poland that always dreamed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. It was a pipe dream, Eretz Yisrael. Those days. Until you got a visa, they let you go. You buy, afford a ticket. You know, the journey itself was a dangerous journey. Somehow, everything came together. He collected pennies, recruiters at a time. He got himself a ticket. He got rishis to go. He got the visa to go. His chassidim were very happy for him, but not so happy for themselves. They said, listen, you know, we're very happy for you, but we're going to miss you dearly. Could you at least promise that you'll write us? You write us about Eretz Yisrael. We're never going to get to Eretz Yisrael. Those days, today, Baruch Hashem, you don't even think twice. You want to go to Eretz Yisrael? You buy a ticket, you go. It takes it 10 hours, you're on a plane. Boom, finished. Those days, it was a pipe dream. They said, we're going to have to live through you. Vicariously, so to speak, through you. Please write to us what Eretz Yisrael is all about. So, of course, that was my every intention. He goes to Eretz Yisrael, but he doesn't write. Not the first week, not the first month, not the second month. 5-6 months in, he writes a letter. He takes pen in hand, and he writes, I have to tell you, I wanted to wait a while to collect my thoughts. And I have to tell you, Eretz Yisrael is far more beautiful than I could ever imagine. He said, the sky is bluer. The chain of Yerushalayim, the charm of Yerushalayim. The kedusha is more palpable. The fruit are more delicious. Everything about Eretz Yisrael is so much better than I could have ever imagined. It's unbelievable. He said, except for one thing. So I miss the yearning I used to have to want to go to Eretz Yisrael. The she'ifa, to want to go. There's something special about a she'ifa. I want to go to Eretz Yisrael, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. That always drives you. I don't have that she'ifa anymore. He's trying to teach his chassidim a lesson. We always have to have she'ifas. We can't just be thinking for now. But where do I want to go? And dream big of who you can be. I have to tell you, I remember when I was in elementary school in the 8th grade, our principal was Rabbi Schwartz, Elias Schwartz, and he used to give a shmooz every Friday, and we kind of figured out later why he gave the shmooz. It wasn't so much because he wanted to give a shmooz, because he had to speak that Shabbos. So his shmooz was his practice for his speech on Shabbos. So you can see he used to write notes as he spoke, because that was his notes he was using on Shabbos. Anyway, I remember at one point, he said something like, he turned to all of us and he goes, you're the future Klal Yisrael! I was looking around like, we are in trouble. We're the future. We are. What is he? Does he know who we are? Does he know who we are? The Torah says he did know who he was. And I can tell you, a lot of my chaverim really became big people in Eretz Yisrael. Not all became rebbes or rabbis, but they became people that really became big people. that really are the future. They're foundations of Klai Yisrael in whatever community they're in. Rabbi said, you are the future. But you have to see it. And you have to build towards your future. And that's the Shifa of Eretz Asher Areka. The second piece I want to share with you is really it's part of it in terms of what are our Shifas? What should we want to be? Who should we try to drive to be? Strive to be. This is Parsha. You see numerous cases of one, it seems to be one theme. Avram. Avravinu, we know he doesn't take money from Zdayim. He says, nothing doing. I'm not taking your money. I don't say, Ani Yishati. It's Avram, you may be rich. He turns down all that money. There's a fight with Avram and shepherds, and Lot's shepherds get into a fight. And Avram says, we have to split. Don't worry, Machlaikis. Over there, it says a very interesting thing. When it talks about Avram and Lot, so it says, V'loi nosa ha'aretz, V'loi nosa oisam aretz, L'shem ha'syachtav, the land wasn't big enough to hold both of them. V'ahiriv ben royim miknei Avram, ben royim miknei Lot, V'aknani v'aprizes az yoshe ba'aretz. There was a fight between the Roye Avram and the Roye Lot, and the Kanani priest was still the land. Why do I need to know the Kanani priest was still the land? Why is that relevant? So Rashi tells us that really Lot's chesed, that the land belongs to Avram, and Avram has no Yerushim, so it belongs to him. It's not true yet because the Kanani priest was still there. That time hasn't come yet. But there's another teeth for Pshat. It says, V'Kanani v'aprizi az yoshe ba'aretz. Yoshim is singular. Say, V'Kanani v'aprizi az yoshvim ba'aretz. Why Yeshiv? Avram was very conscious of the fact, here we are, two brothers, we're arguing, Machlekes, and these two big nations, they have no problem living side by side together. Yeshiv in the singular. They have, what a chil Hashem this is. We can't conduct ourselves like men together, and these two nations have no problem living together. Avram was motivated his whole life by making Kiddush Hashem and averting chil Hashem. His tachlis was, I want to do everything in my power to bring Kiddush Hashem to this world. I want to do the Ratzon Hashem. I want to do the will of Hashem. And by doing so, by bringing his values and his Torah into the world, I bring Hashem's presence to the world. Avram was trying to avoid Chil Hashem at all costs. Can't have a machlekes. Kanani preservation, brothers. I'm not taking the money from stone. What a Chil Hashem! He's going to walk around saying that Hashem didn't make me rich, that he made me rich. I can't do that. Avram's single thought. Anytime you have to make a decision, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? You know what the question was? Is this going to bring a Kiddush Hashem or a Chil Hashem? That was the question. Am I going to add to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world or subtract? Every cheshbon and every part of the parasha, you see, he was concerned with Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem. The way he conducts himself with Avimelech, and so on and so forth. Avram is concerned with Kiddush Hashem. And he makes a Kiddush Hashem. When Og has to come, Og comes to save Lot. He goes to Avram, and he said, what does it say? V'yageid la'Avram ha'ivri, right? He tells him that, your nephew is in big trouble. You gotta get him. So why does it say Avram Ivri? This is the first time it mentioned in the Torah that Avram is Ivri. We know why he's called Ivri, because he's from the other side of the river, because everyone made fun of him. They said, oh, you're from a different planet. You live your life differently. You're not into political correctness. You do the right thing. But they meant it really in a pejorative sense. People call him an Ivri. They poke fun. Oh, you're from Mars. You're a different planet. You don't live like us. But we wear it as a badge of honor. We do the right thing. We do what's right. I'm not worried what the popular thing is. I got to do what the right thing is, because that brings a Kiddush Hashem. And Og got it. You know why Og went to appeal to Avram? Because you're an Ivri. I know you have convictions. I know you do the right thing, whether it's popular or not. If I want to get something done, you're the person I'm going to turn to. I'm going to you, Avram, because you're an Ivri. Because you do the right thing. You do the right thing. And when you do the right thing, Yavsat Nishmai. Yishlach, I want to imagine. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikaydish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send you help Mikaydish when you do Kiddush Hashem. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikaydish. You'll have Siat Nishmai when all you do is think about what's going to bring in Kiddush Hashem. And Rabbi said, that's our responsibility. Every day, especially as B'nai Torah. Not just in front of the guy, but in front of the Gidim Shteisuch. How you conduct yourself when you're in a shopping center. Do you smile at the person when you buy a piece of candy for them? Do you say hello to them? Are you noisy when you're in the shopping center? If you see an old lady there, are you willing to open the door for that person? Smile at that person? Those little things that you think are garnished, they're huge Kiddush Hashems. You're not going to score better than a Kiddush Hashem. If you want Siyat Hashma in anything you do, the Medrash tells us, based on the Pasuk, Yishlach Ezrachem Yikaydish. You have to be willing to understand the Kiddush Hashem. And you have an opportunity every single day. Forget about outside the shopping center. What about here in the school? We have teachers in the school. Jewish, not teachers. How you conduct yourself makes either a Chil Hashem or a Kishem. But boy, say, you know better than me. You know exactly what happens in those classrooms. And you have an achrayis. I take the fun out of it. But you have an achrayis. Every teacher should walk out of this school saying, wow, this is how Jews conduct themselves? Because they have a Torah? That's your achrayis. And anything less than that is held against you. Big time. You can't have fun at the expense of the Chil Hashem. Our whole reason for being in this world is Kiddush Hashem. That's what we're here for. To bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. And for Goyim too, certainly. If they see the way we conduct ourselves, hopefully they're inspired by that too. But our boys, they have to think once and twice. I see sometimes my kids, are you guys sometimes in class, they get a little rowdy with the teacher, and they get frustrated. You have to be honest. You're crossing a line sometimes. Okay, normal behavior is normal behavior. But when you cross that line, they say, this is how Jews behave. And they may not say it out loud, but they're thinking that. You have a tremendous achrayis. It's all about Kiddush Hashem. It's all about Kiddush Hashem. Doing the right thing. Do the right thing. I want to tell you a story. I just heard this story. Hot off the press. It's more of a story in terms of doing the right thing than all the reason Kiddush Hashem. Speaking to a guy, I don't know if he doesn't mind mentioning his name. I'll tell you. Somebody named Bernstein. Lives in Israel, actually. He's a Rosh Kail now. Many years ago, I could tell you he was not a Rosh Kail. Far from Rosh Kail. But he's mamish, a very special person. His grandfather was a very, very wealthy individual Jew, who I'm sure Merkin knows quite well, or knew quite well. No question about that. And he's still familiar with the Bernstein Foundation. And the Bernstein Foundation gives out stuckus. And he told me that the Bernstein Foundation, his grandfather initially wanted all the stuckus to go only to Orthodox organizations. Only Orthodox. I said, Baruch, where'd that come from? Was your grandfather from? No. Only Orthodox? I said, yeah. I said, why? He said, I'll tell you a story. He said, this story just became known. I mean, he knew about it a little bit. He just started talking about it. He said his grandfather, I think, if I recall the story correctly, his grandfather either escaped the war, came after the war, I don't remember the whole story, and he was in Eretz Yisrael for a visit. Anyway, he's in the cab, and he swoops with the cab driver, and he mentions to the cab driver that his parents, or his grandparents, come from Punovich and Vilna. That's his yichus. I don't know who the cab driver was. He's very impressed. That's a pretty geek, Punovich. And he said, you know what? We have a new yeshiva. This must have been, I think, told me the late 50s. When was Punovich started? Early 50s, late 50s? When was it? Early 50s. Maybe early 50s. He said, we have a yeshiva called Punovich. Would you like to see it? Okay. Now, this is like 10, 11 o'clock at night. Now, Punovich then wasn't what Punovich now. Punovich now is thousands of Jews. Thousands of Torah learning there. I don't know. Were there hundreds there? I don't know what it was. Smaller, certainly. And he goes in 11 o'clock at night, expecting to see a half-empty hall, totally empty. Who's in the library at 11 o'clock at night, right? Unless you cram me for a test. He says the place is hopping. People are jumping, and they're yelling, and they're screaming. And he said it was like, Torah's still alive. He thought Yiddishkeit was over. He was convinced it's done. Blown away. But that's not the story. So that itself kind of made him feel like, oh, there's a chiyus to Yiddishkeit still, Baruch Hashem, even if he wasn't from. And then someone introduced him to the Punovich Rashiva. Punovich, he's from Punovich. Punovich spoke to him. Spoke for a little bit, and he saw this boy, this young man, was a bit broken. You know, what he had after the war, what he didn't have after the war. Punovich took an interest in him. He spoke to him. Okay, then they left. Fine. This bursting fellow went back to America. That's it. I think a year later, 2 years later, the Panovich is coming to fundraise for his yeshiva. And he looks up this bursty. And he talks to him. And he gives him chizuk. Because he realized that this is a year that didn't have any connections, and he just wants to make him feel good and rebuild his life. And he spends like 2 hours with him. And then he leaves. That's it. And somehow, Rissi was like, why was he in America? He never told me why he came to America. He called around. He came to fundraise. He didn't ask me for a dime. He called him up. He said, where are you? He said, please, yeah, can I see you? Yeah. He says, you came for money? He says, yeah. So why don't you ask me? He said, we hardly know each other. And I really just came because I want to see how you're doing. He was so blown away. This great rabbi came just to see how I'm doing? That's it? That's what he decided. All his money, when it's over, goes, not even, even he started when he was alive, all his money is going Orthodox. That's where it came from. This simple kid of Hashem. He just said, I care. He came just to say hello, see how I'm doing, speak to me. Didn't ask for a penny. Kiddush Hashem. That's Kiddush Hashem. The boy said, you have an opportunity to do Kiddush Hashem every single day, almost every hour of the day, when you're in the school, with the teachers, with your friends, when you're out in the shopping center, when you're crossing the street, you name it. Every moment of the day, you have an opportunity to do Kiddush Hashem. The beginning of the parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, and if you do, Ve'eschol Goy Gadol, Va'varchecha, Va'agad L'shemecha, Ve'hei Bracha. And Rashi, everyone knows the Medrash. Rashi brings out the Medrash that Ve'eschol Goy Gadol, Ze'u Sho'imer L'kei Avram. Yeah. Agad L'shemecha, yeah. Ve'eschol Goy Gadol, L'kei Avram. Va'varchecha is L'kei Yitzchak. Va'agad L'shemecha is L'kei Yaakov. And then, Tocha Choismin, Ve'hei Bracha. The obvious kash is, what's the, yes, I say, Arbis and Vant. You know what Arbis and Vant means? Arbis and Vant, I guess. You know what Arbis is? Arbis is a chickpea. You know what a chickpea? You know what a Vant is? Vant is a wall. The expression is, it's Arbis and Vant. There's no connection between an Arbis. What's the connection between a chickpea and a wall? The truth is, I saw one of the volumes explained the expression. Arbis is round. A wall is flat, so the point of connection is most minimal point. You can't get, right, with two flat items, they connect all over. You have a circle and a flat wall, the point of contact is minimal. So Arbis and Vant means there's no connection. What's the connection? Hashem says, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, and they'll start saying, we daven L'kei Avraham. What's the connection? So I want to share with you, something I think I share with my, the Talmidim I'm learning Lech Lecha with, a big insight. In davening, when we say L'kei Avraham, L'kei Yisrael, L'kei Yaakov, what do we really mean? So, we know there's only one Hashem. So, most people, so what do you need? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So we say, and it could say, in fact, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So the standard answer is no. Elokei Avram means, Avram had his path to Hashem, through Chesed, whatever. Yitzchak had his path to Hashem, through Gvura, Yaakov, through Emes. So, it's a path that Avram had to Hashem. The path that Yitzchak had to Hashem. That can't be really shot. Because then you're not davening to Hashem. You're davening to the path that Avraham had to Hashem. What does it really mean? Elokei Avraham. The way that Avraham related to Hashem. So that's not about Hashem. That's about Avraham. Elokei Avraham means something else. Rabbi said. Elokei Avraham means, listen closely. Now when Avraham did an act of chesed, it was so fantastic. It was so special that people who saw that chesed felt, you know what, this is Hashem's chesed that Avram is simply acting out on. You mamish felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Avram brought Hashem's presence into the world with his chesed. It was so fantastic. He said, this can't come from any place. This is not stam chesed. This is so unusual. This is so spectacular. It had to be inspired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's mamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed in a way is pulsating through Avram. So when you saw Avram's chesed, you know what you saw? You saw Hashem. You saw Hashem as chesed. And when you saw the gvura of Yitzchak, you saw Hashem as gvura through Yitzchak. So okay, Avram is about Hashem, okay, it's about Hashem. But boy, say, that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is that when we act a certain way, they see Hashem in our actions. Because we have a Torah that teaches how to act in a spectacular way. Anybody could do chesed, but nobody could do chesed like the way you could do chesed when you have Torah. Anybody could have guru, but not the way a yid knows how to have guru and strength. Rabbi say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah, he gave us a responsibility. He also gave us a great privilege to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah in this world by the Maisim that we do. Elokei Avram means the world saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Avram. Make no mistake, the world could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through your actions. And that's our Chrais, and that's our Avodah. That's called Kiddush Hashem. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from Avram, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from all of us. We should have she'ifas. We should have a real vision of who we want to be. And we're not stuck in the past. El Aras Yisrael Reka. Always long for more. I want more. And if you have that vision, that can propel you. So you act in a certain way. In the proper way. Wherever you are. Here or at home. Make no mistake, Rabbi Say. Your parents, who may not have had the same benefit of great education that you're having now, and they're putting all this money in Kaichus, what you have an education that maybe they didn't have. They want to see what a Bentai really is. And when you act a certain way, when you go home, and you keep it up, aim is better, and you say a Dvar Torah at the table, whatever it is, that's also Kiddush Hashem. Every moment you have, like Kiddush Hashem, is the moment that we're all born for and created for. Mitzvah, everybody should be Zeicha to a great Shabbos. Mitzvah, a great week coming up ahead. A good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.